the federal system with Jack Smith, the Alvin Bragg, Tish James, Fannie Willis. This lawfare, this election interference is a criminal conspiracy, and there must be severe consequences. Once these courts lose their legitimacy, they must lose their funding.
You have to want to be there for your people.
Put it right now.
Okay, yo, this is a podcast going on, you know what I'm saying?
I'm here doing my favorite thing on a Sunday afternoon. You're listening to the American Freedom and God Podcast. Presented by JPF and Associates and the JohnPFox.com training portal and classroom, where we share commentary, wisdom, and counsel. This is a weekly podcast show. Thank you for tuning in. All right, all right. How's everybody doing? Welcome to another episode of the American Freedom and God Podcast. Wake up and look at politics is today's title. All you need to do is know the overall picture. Political enemy stuff, you know, it all began with JFK. Once you know that, it's going to come to you. You're going to figure it out. We all need to wake up and learn something about politics. And also, we always bring audio and visual aid. So if you're watching the Diddle Cam, you see what's up on the screen. And of course, you know, we're all about the MP3 mostly. So I definitely bring audio aid and bring sound bites. And so today it'll be Steve Bannon's War Room. We're going to be talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi on his book, The Final Analysis. And he's talking about what happened back in 1961. And that's where Deep State started showing up on the scene, guys. I was 1 year old back then. Mike Davis on January 6th, Stephen Furtick, going to bring God's message today. God, I need you. That's the title of his sermon. We do with these sound bites, we do let sometimes it go like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but I try to make the point, you know, with the sound bites and do, you know, most of the talking so I can put it in my commentary. Then also, we have a health segment as always. Hey, Debbie, we have a health segment. Dr. Eric Berg is going to be discussing what are we talking about?
Oh, iodine.
Iodine it is. We're going to find out why iodine is important. There's two kinds of iodine, of course. You have the iodine that you can ingest into your body, you know, like any other food. And then you have topical iodine, which is probably the one you're more familiar with. If you've ever had your kid treated for a scrape or bruise or a cut, they put iodine on it, you know, kind of thing. But we're going to talk about the iodine today in that health segment, guys. All you need to do to know the overall picture is to open your mind and look at things on your own. So, because like right now, if you turn on any mainstream news, all they care about is what's happening with this trial with former President Donald Trump. Okay, the world is stuck on former President Donald Trump and what's going on with Donald Trump. That's where they're like stuck there. They can't talk about anything else. Now, I suppose if you watched it for 8 hours, you might hear something else before the day is up, but all throughout those 8 hours, they're going to keep repeating the narrative. And then if you change the channel, it's going to be the same narrative. Go to a third channel, same narrative. It's not going to matter. It's going to be the same narrative. Until you get to maybe an opposition mainstream news. I think there's only one out there nowadays, and that would probably be Fox News, because they tend to have a couple of anchors on there that, you know, they're kind of fed up like the rest of the American people. And so those anchors do opposition to the other mainstream news. Like Sean Hannity would be one in particular. Used to be Tucker Carlson, but of course they ousted him because he's kind of blunt. Tucker kind of just throws it out there, tells the truth, and loses his job for it. Sean's holding back a little bit. People call him weak for that. But, hey, he's just trying to stay, you know, cordial and keep his job. Laura Ingraham is another one. They will tell you things other than what the mainstream media is stuck on, which is Donald Trump. And on this podcast, I'm here to just show you how to look at it all, how to understand it all from perspectives that you might not even have thought of before. And there's a reason those perspectives exist. So we're going to take you all the way back to what happened in 1961 and briefly, and then we're going to compare that. See, ask people right now, Debbie, if you ask people, if you were to walk on the streets and with a microphone and go up and ask somebody, why do you hate Donald Trump? And if they say yes, say, let me ask you a question. If you hate Donald Trump, what do you think about John F. Kennedy?
Oh, they love him.
They love him. Mm-hmm. He was a very, very popular president. He was well-loved, well-received. Well, you know, Trump
Camelot, and, right? They thought he was the white knight, basically.
Trump and John F. Kennedy were basically the same scenario.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing they don't understand.
Well, they are both fighting the deep state.
In that day, according to our Dr. Jerome Corsi, they only had three sources of media, and the narrative was what it was, period. And back then, people just didn't cross-reference a whole lot of what they were being told. Today, we can do that, you know, a lot easier.
We have the internet.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Corsi was analyzing what went on back then, even back then. Mm-hmm. And so he's been on this for a long time, almost 60 years. So it's going to be interesting to listen to that soundbite, see what he's saying. But you can go up to somebody and ask, you know, do you hate Trump? And if they say, yeah, so what did you think about John F. Kennedy? And if they tell you, well, I wasn't around with John F. Kennedy, but what I know of him and what I've seen the film strips in school or whatnot, he seems like he was a good president. Mm-hmm. The overall feeling of him is that, you know, John F. Kennedy was trying to do the exact same thing that Trump was trying to do, make America great. That's all John F. Kennedy was trying to do.
Yep.
And they didn't like that, so they shot him.
Got rid of him.
Yep. All right, well, that's the sad truth, guys, but you got to wake up and look at politics. Before you say anything about any politician, you should probably study a good 3 weeks to a month of nothing but politics from all angles. I'm going to give you some recommended listening. The Glenn Beck Show, an awesome place to start. 3-hour show. You know, there's ads. I get it. You don't want to hear all the ads. But, you know, you can go to the podcast. You can go to iHeartRadio and get the podcast. Most of the ads are cut out. There's the Glenn Beck Show. There's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Levin Show. If you need opposition, go to MSNBC and watch an episode or two of that. Mika and Joe. You know, whatever. You can go and watch The View. You can go and watch Gutfield. You can go and watch these shows. But recommended listening, again, is Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, War Room with Steve Bannon, and there are many others. I don't want to leave out names, so I'm just going to stop there. But these guys are going to tell you stuff that your ears never heard before, and it's going to make a certain sense to you that's never been made before. It's like if you got yourself arrested for some sort of heinous thing that happened accidentally, and you're really not trying to be a criminal. You accidentally, you know, tripped over that problem, and now they arrested you. You would want a fair trial, right? You would want to be treated fairly so you can explain to everybody, this is what really happened, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not a criminal here. And you would want that. But what is happening today when you don't understand everything, you're thinking that what the TV's telling you, this man deserves it, you don't understand everything, then you're making an uninformed opinion.
Right.
You're forming an uninformed an assumption. So you have to take that overall picture. The political enemy stuff began with John F. Kennedy. It probably was even before that. Following Kennedy, more went on with Nixon. You remember Watergate, of course. Not telling you anything you haven't heard of before, but things like that, it's very important. Now, during this open here, I'd like to go ahead and make my point that while we see what they're saying on every move that's happening right now with the New York trial and criminal trial on Donald Trump, while the news media talks over and over to their blue in the face about every new thing that's, you know, new update that's coming out of this trial, and that's all they know, they're stuck there. While they're doing that, there are actually people out there that knew this was coming, They knew that this was going to happen. They knew this was going to be for show. They knew the mainstream media was going to go where they're going, that the narrative was going to be caught up in there and snagged in there, and it's not going to leave until, you know, the story leaves. And so they knew that, and they also talked. So while you're listening to what's going on every day, and on maybe when you come home from work, maybe when you come home from play, or either one, you turn on the news, while you're listening to what they're doing to this man in the New York trial, you can also flip the switch when that show's done and listen to some of these other people. For example, I brought a soundbite to kind of help this monologue a little bit. It's the X-22 report, and what he's not doing is he's not telling you every new thing that's happening in the trial, because about a month ago he brought it up. It's that it was coming to this. We already knew this sham trial and show trial was going to happen. It's what it is. The show trial. It's all put on for show. But see, the guys that are doing it, the Alvin Braggs, the DAs, the attorney generals, the Jack Smith, you know, these guys are not about to admit anything that they're doing is bogus. Mm-hmm. So they have to keep pounding and pounding and pounding. They could never admit it, right?
It's like they're playing a role.
It's not so much that either. Now it's getting personal. Now, yeah. If the Supreme Court overturns something, they got to still keep going anyway. And they got to thumb their nose at the Supreme Court because they can't admit that there's anything wrong with what they're doing. It's one of those things. And they're putting themselves into a hole that's going to be very difficult for them later when it all comes out. And people like Dave from X-22 Report is going to explain a few things to you that you're not hearing on the mainstream media. And I recommend you start listening to Dave after 7 p.m. Daily. You can go back and listen to yesterday's and then, you know, to get caught up. It's every day, pretty much. I think he takes a break on Sunday. But
Saturday night.
But you can listen. Just listen to this guy once in a while and add it to whatever it is you're doing, because you need to wake up and learn something about politics. I'll let him say a few words here, and I'll get right back into it.
Let's put all this pressure on him and let him bow out after that. Well, it didn't work. So now they're proceeding with the criminal trials. Okay, let's try the hush money trial. Let's see if we can get him on these fake charges, and let's see if we can throw him in prison. And you know what? Let's do these trials at the same exact time. We'll have Jack Smith with immunity, and we will then have the hush money trial pretty much going at the same time while the Supreme Court is making a decision on immunity. Now, once again, this is going to be their planet. They're going to convince the people that he's unfit for office. But once again, he can still run for office, even though he's in prison. This does not stop him whatsoever. And I do believe the people, they're going to see something very, very interesting. And remember, Trump, he says he wants to go to his son's graduation. That is Barron. If the judge stops him from attending the graduation, what do you think the people are going to see? They're going to see that this is a political hit, that they want to punish him. Is this going to work in the favor of the deep state players? Absolutely not. They're already saying that he can't attend the immunity hearing with the Supreme Court. So I think the people, as the trial goes on, they're going to start to realize. And remember, Trump will not get a fair trial. These were set up as show trials, and these show trials are already decided upon. So when you're looking at the trials, are these trials really for Trump? Is this trial really by the deep state, or is the deep state on trial? Because remember, the American people are watching this. They've watched this from the very beginning, and the people have learned that the Russian collusion was fake. The people have learned that the Alpha Bank server was fake. The people have learned that impeachment one was fake. Impeachment number two was fake. The people have learned that Trump has no idea who E. Jean Carroll is, that she's a nutcase, and the judge wouldn't let them produce evidence. So people understand that. The people are seeing that Fannie Willis, she is corrupt, and all that information came out, but she's still trying to go after Trump.
And the list goes on and on, and Dave covers literally almost all of it in that episode. All the things that the people think is going on, and all of the things that the people know is going on. Did you know that? I kind of like that picture he had up there. If you were looking at the Ditto cam, you would have seen the visual. He spliced out the image of Trump sitting in the courtroom. You know, he's on camera in the courtroom. He spliced that out and put the rally people behind him. So his instead of, you know, seeing just Trump in a court where you see Trump and all his people. You know, it's like 80, 90 million last year. I mean, last election that, you know, definitely voted for him. 80 or 90 million people out of 330. And also this time he brought on probably another 80 million, seeing as how the economy has crashed and everything else has crashed and the dollar is going away. So he's bringing out another 80 million, if not more. The only ones left are the ones that truly believe what they watch in the mainstream media and that are not really awake.
Yeah.
The people that are awake, they don't necessarily care to like or dislike Donald Trump. They care that they're seeing this lawlessness. They care that they're seeing that if this can happen to him, that we don't really have a constitution. We don't really have a you can't do this and you can't do that. And if I accidentally get in trouble, it doesn't matter. They're going to lock me up forever. They're starting to see that.
I think it's the two-tier justice system that people are really seeing. You know, how the Bidens get away with all this?
Yes. Actually, it's one-tier justice system. It's just that the ones that I'm asking you guys to stop giving your votes to, they don't ever get in any trouble.
Never.
So if you keep giving your votes to them, they get off scot-free no matter what they do. They can murder, they can do anything they want, and they will not get in trouble for it. It's only the opposition, the people that believe in a United States of America being a free country, that they tend to want to target.
Yeah, they're the ones that are no good.
Which, you know, kind of frightens the crap out of me sometimes when I think about it. But I'm just here talking like an American should talk. What I'm asking you guys to do is wake up and look at politics. Don't be afraid of it. I know it's a yucky subject, but at least if you start looking at it and learning it, you start realizing, wow, what a politician really is.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I can't believe that. I looked at this man. He's on the TV and stuff. I watched him speak, and then he walked away, you know, and I really just listened to what he said and said, that's great. You know, politicians, boy, they work hard. They got a great job. And look, they're almost kind of famous. Yeah, it almost makes me want to be a politician. But what you're not seeing is the truth of that man and what's going on behind the scenes and whether or not what his speech just was, whether or not he's going to do any of that. That's what you're not seeing. So I'm going to head over to that famous social networking. I mean, my favorite social networking site for now, anyways. It may not stay that way. Getter.com. And I just wanted to include in this open here just a couple of headlines off of Getter so we can kind of touch on today's issues. That's what we do on this podcast. We touch on current issues, give it our opinion, trying not to get ourselves in any kind of offense battles, you know, of offending anybody. And then we just want to talk about what's happening in current issues. Because when you walk around with the Lord in your heart, you are that. You know, you are that. You're not out to start mischief and things like that. You're out to just be genuine, to be true, to be real. And so that's what we're going to do. And I want to start out with a couple of headlines here, Debbie. The first seven jurors are chosen for Trump's New York criminal trial. Okay, there you go. Already the news is just stuck on what's going on next. So they got the first seven jurors.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's news.
They love to hate, you know. That's been going on for years now.
And you know that they're not going to have anybody in there that's open-minded about this. It's going to be, we need Trump haters so we can put together a jury.
Well, didn't the OJ trial show us how to...
It shows us how that works.
Had a jury.
Oh, boy. There's so much you can cross-reference these things we're talking about with, and Debbie, that was a good example. Danger to our democracy. That is the quote from this guy. Fears over Trump allies. Summit. So Trump allies are going to have a summit with far-right sheriffs. Now, I don't know. I try not to use the terms far-right and far-left because it's too easy to fall to that narrative. And then the listener goes, far-right, they must be some very bad people. You know, and the listener's hearing far-right in a negative kind of way. What they're trying to say is the people that really care about their American freedom. That's all the far right really is. They just want to maintain their American freedom, their farm, their ability to go anywhere they want or across the country, to ride their horse, to ride their motorcycles, to shoot their guns out in the countryside and go hunting, you know. This freedom, this feeling of freedom to make their own food.
There's nothing far right about that. It's
not a far right thing. It's living free. Right, but if you call them far righters, then you're making the listener not see everything I just said.
Right, because it's a derogatory term. That unfortunately. Who coined that? It's like conspiracy theorists.
Who coins that? Who MSNBC. That's who coins
who
it.
Who labeled you that?
The opposition, the haters, right. The haters of you.
And they pound you know, that narrative.
And I haven't talked about it much either, but it, as they're going after J6ers, that they're trying to tell them they're insurrectionists and stuff, that also pointing the finger at Christians. They want to say that Christians are some kind of terrible group. So it just, it doesn't stop with just what seemed to be a riot at the Capitol and let's put them in prison. It doesn't stop with that. They start going and going and looking at even Christians, you know.
But even churches. Your listeners, if they're thinking about that, they should investigate Ray Epps.
Ray Epps, yeah, that's right.
How he got off, right. He was the FBI informant.
Well, you just mentioned
down
it.
That rabbit hole.
Yeah, you just mentioned it. It's a two-tier justice system.
Absolutely.
We're not going to do anything to Ray Epps. He was on our side.
No, he wasn't on our side. He
no,
was,
that's
oh,
what,
their
that's
side,
what
yeah.
the DOJ is
right,
saying.
Right, right, right.
We're not
going to
do
make
any.
It look like we're going to go after
right,
him,
right.
but he ain't going to get right. in real trouble.
And that bomb we planted, well, that
oh,
that was a farce,
that
but we'll
there?
Just keep quiet on that
yeah.
one. We don't say much on that one, and we'll let that one go. So, Mike Flynn, Mike Lindell, and the others are going to attend an election fraud summit, and it's nothing new. They've been doing it since the 2020 election. They get together and they discuss how they could have possibly pulled this off. It's obvious it happened, and they're going to talk about it. But somebody else is standing up saying it's a danger to our democracy. These Trump allies, they're going to have a summit. Right? Oh my God! And with the sheriffs, and that is the key word I left out a minute ago. So it's with the sheriffs in the United States.
You know what scares them? That so many people come out, no matter what the weather, and they are happy, and they are excited to be there, and they believe in the message that is being sent. That's what scares them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At those rallies, at those Trump rallies. I mean, there's like millions of people there.
I mean,
tens and thousands.
Do you remember during the last election, and he was in Pennsylvania, and all the Amish came out?
Yeah.
I mean, the Amish. You got buggies, and that doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't often happen, people. Anti-Israel campus deplatforming incidents spike as universities evoke safety to censor. Okay, so that's about it for the headlines. They're so hard to read sometimes. Whoever's putting them up there. But I still have a few minutes here that I wanted to go through before we all but get into our content today with the sound bites. And that is, I wanted to read a little post on Getter. I don't normally do this. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to read this post to you and I'm going to read some of the comments to you. I don't normally do this, but MSNBC's Joy Reid suggested that the politically-motivated prosecution of Donald Trump is a wonderfully poetic form of racial revenge. And she got a little smirk on her face looking into the camera there. Wonderful revenge for us race, us people who were, you know, attacked through racism, I guess you might say it like that. And so we just went ahead and clicked on that to see what some of the comments to that post, that little short little post with the picture of Joy there. I kind of started looking. I don't know if I can say all these words on this show, Debbie, because it's a family show.
Yeah. Well.
But you can take who wears that white woman's and just and is just a racist Democratic clown. Seriously, how can you take her seriously? Look in the mirror, Reed. Who's the race bister?
It's baiting. It's race baiting. They just won't drop it.
This is also gaslighting when you put a post like this
yeah.
up. And well, actually, it's showing the reader just how many people agree with Joy Reid when you start reading the comments, okay, with that post. So here's a couple more. Funny, how more black people like him than you, Joy? she's black.
I
she hasn't
look,
looked
she
that
looked
black.
It.
And yes, okay. No, nobody.
I mean,
I can't even tell. Nobody care what the race baiting bullshit artist says. This is the way only 13 people watch your network. This is why only 13 people even watch MSNBC. This woman needs serious help. Here's another one. No blood is reaching her brain. There must be a restriction in the neck area. I would seek medical help immediately before she tries to run for president.
There you go.
Tries to run for president. Okay, Reid is a hate-filled racist. The only thing she likes about Trump is his hairdo. She really likes that. The face only studded bald bat could love. Only a studded ball bat could love. Now, that's kind of a violent statement there. Yeah. Why are blacks so racist? Anyways, these comments are ordinary people, guys. They're
but
not
you know gonna, what? Aren't we all getting tired of the whole racist narrative? I mean, it doesn't matter what race you are anymore. Everybody's getting tired of it. It doesn't work like it used to.
Right, and it's beyond relevance anymore. It was never relevant, guys. It simply was never relevant.
In this country, anybody can be anything. I mean, any neighborhood, that's the way all colors.
That's Living what was
South
meant to
Florida,
be.
Prosperity is everywhere for people who work for it. It's there.
And when I was born, there was already the start of what we're seeing today. The takeover, the unseen, the secret society types, the unseen types. There were some professional shooters that Dr. Jerome Corsi calls deep staters. That it's not important who the actual shooters are because they're long gone now and it's what they do. But they shot JFK through the front of the motorcade he was in, that convertible vehicle, and that limo. And they also shot him from the back, two professional shooters. And then Lee Harvey Oswald shoots him from a window. And that's what ends up in the news. And they even show video of them capturing Oswald. Mm-hmm. So I was 2 years old when this happened. It was in 1961, I think, according to Dr. Corsi. It might have been 68. That was Robert. Okay. So I'm going with what Dr. Corsi is talking about because he obviously knows a lot more than I do. He's got a PhD. He's been doing this all his life. So, the news media is just three main media at the time: ABC, NBC,
CBS.
And they're, you know, I'm a baby. I'm crawling around, and that's when all this go after Trump stuff and forget about law began. Mm-hmm. It began back with John F. Kennedy.
It sure did,
guys. It's been there the whole time. If you'd have just been studying politics, I wouldn't have to be explaining this to you.
Right?
You'd already know these things.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, after World War II, yeah, and during his presidency, he warned everybody. It's the military industrial complex. You better watch what's going on here.
And I just want to put that out there. It's not what you think when you watch the news, mainstream media, that's going on in the world. It's not that at all. You've got to understand that's not what's really happening. These people work for the narrative. That's what they work for.
That's what
they get paid
to
say
believe.
It. It's what they want you to believe. It's been going on since I was born, guys. But before Kennedy, you know, you had Abraham Lincoln, the same stuff's going on. So do you think that we all, like, accidentally get in trouble and then get a fair trial? No. We not only don't get that, it's scary. You know, you just got to stay. That's what they want. They want you to stay quiet, scared, hidden, and then be an idiot. So everybody's happy.
Well, it's a form of breaking down the slave, isn't it? To keep them in line.
And on one hand, I can see where, you know, you can run your everyday life. You ain't worried about things. But on the other hand, you're being lied to. You're not free if that's the case, right? If somebody else runs everything and not the president, mm-hmm, then you're not free. It's being done by people you don't even know that you didn't elect. Yep. So everything that's being done. And even in the Department of Justice, there are people you did not elect.
Right.
And they're like, fighting you, the American person. They're fighting you. They're standing in that place of power, and they're got their little battery ram, and they're hitting you with it.
They're calling shots.
And there's nothing you can do. You didn't even elect them. There's nothing you can do except stand up and talk about it, guys. Stand up and learn something about politics, and you'll learn these things. Then we can peacefully protest. Then we can make the world see that this person is stepping out of line. This judge shouldn't be wearing that robe because he entered into politics. Once a judge enters into politics, he's not honorable anymore.
Right.
You become something else. And it's a partisan thing is what it is. We're going to listen in real quick with Steve Bannon Show here. I want to hear what Dr. Jerome Corsi has to say about his new book, The Final Analysis. And maybe we'll catch up a little bit on that, and then we'll head on to the next one.
There are mega in this analysis, but it's a fantastic book. I just want to step back because using the term coup d'etat, particularly in the United States, Dr. Corsi, is loaded. Do you believe, in your professional opinion, having been a researcher in many different areas and written many different books and being one of the top investigative journalists out there, do you believe that there was a coup d'etat against John F. Kennedy in 1963, sir?
I have no doubt about it. 100% certain there was a coup d'etat. was organized by the deep state, and they decided to kill Jack Kennedy. They did it in broad daylight with a crossfire, a very coordinated attack, and they gloated over it. The army was at the autopsy smoking cigars and directing the autopsy. This was a coup d'etat. Jack Kennedy wanted peace. He did not want to go to war with Russia in the Cuban Missile Crisis. He had signed the National Security Memorandum.
But hang on a second. He ran against Nixon instead against Nixon and Eisenhower.
Right.
They weren't hard enough on communism. They talked about the islands in the South China Sea today. I mean, some of the stuff we talked about in Taiwan. They said you're weak on communist China, but you're weaker on Russia. I mean, Jack Kennedy's legacy, I thought he wanted to be as the penultimate Cold Warrior with his brother Bobby, are you saying actually the deep state thought he was going to try to, that peace was going to break out and that's why they took him out?
Yes, Kennedy matured during his presidency. He realized, I think, after the Bay of Pigs that the CIA had lied to him and had tried to trap him into getting into a war with Cuba. The invasion failed. It was meant to fail. Kennedy refused to send in the B-26 to save these hired hands that had been landed on the beach as if they were revolutionaries. Kennedy saw through it. When it came to the Cuban Missile Crisis, the generals, including Curtis LeMay, who had firebombed Europe and firebombed Japan during World War II, wanted desperately to go to war, wanted to invade Cuba. And the Joint Chiefs were incensed that Kennedy wouldn't go along with them.
So Kennedy was being, the peacemaker. And they didn't want that. It's not like this is just going on in this day and age. This was going on back then.
And Eisenhower warned them of.
Any president that wanted peace, the deep state stepped up and said, oh, no.
We want war.
You're not going to get that. We're right. going to get what we want.
You know, what is war Trump is that. Want? What does Trump want? Peace.
Wants peace. And show power. By strength and not appeasement.
But he wants peace.
He wants peace. I got a little clip I want to play real quick, guys, and I'm going to do it just for a second, just to make a point here. Just kind of backs up the title of the show. It'll come true. Yeah, look around. Look around and learn something. Don't just listen to what you're hearing on MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN. It goes on and on. There's more. It is the Democrats getting on TV saying what they want you to learn.
Right.
But look around. Look around. Wake right. up and look around. Enjoy that song, too. That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Enjoy your life, but look around. Mm-hmm. Because if you do, then you'll be able to say, I'm with the people, I'm with peace, right. I'm with the American way. That is what I'm trying to get across in today's episode. So we had a little technical issue a while ago, but I was able to sort that out, and we'll just fix that in the editing stage. It looks like I overloaded a browser with too many videos. But I'm going to try again, if I dare, with another soundbite in just a minute. But just to add to what we heard from Dr. Corsi is that when the deep state learns that John F. Kennedy was about to create peace around the world based on the American policies, and, you know, we had that crisis with the Cuban nuclear missiles. We had the other crisis. It's just... He wanted peace, and the industrial complex, military complex wants war all the time.
Right.
And so Corsi goes into a deep dive of what actually happened. He got shot in the front of the head, the back of the head, and then the one that got publicized was the side of the head,
right,
which came from Oswald. Mm-hmm. So guys, know that Oswald's part in it was show. Mm-hmm. I guess he hated Kennedy enough that he didn't mind participating.
Well, there's always a stupid fall guy, isn't there, that doesn't know what's hitting him?
And the professional shooters are the ones that killed him. Now, see, they try to cover that up because the initial autopsy, the CIA held the guys at gunpoint and says, we're taking this body.
You know, John, do you know who was big in the CIA during then?
I know, George Bush, right?
Senior.
Senior, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this was even before that, wasn't it?
Kennedy he was in the CIA during the Kennedy thing,
Yeah, and he became our beloved president for a while there, didn't he? Two terms.
Isn't it funny? He was the vice president under Reagan, who came out as a peace-loving unifier. And what happened to him?
Right. So I've learned So I've learned that they'll try to get somebody in the VP position that they know they can count on, no matter who the president
is. That's right.
And they did that with Trump when they put Pence in there. Yeah. In my opinion. In my humble opinion. But we need to move on. So I went ahead and decided that, well, there is relevant stuff happening today, but you know what you need to understand is what was happening yesterday. Because what's happening today is basically the same thing. It's just different, you know, names in different places. I'm going to play for you a little soundbite from somebody that worked in the Supreme Court as a clerk or judges working for one of the justices there. Don't know enough yet about Mike Davis, but he is a legal expert, so we're going to listen to what his take is. It's still on the War Room with Steve Bannon. Recommended listening here at the American Freedom and God podcast, the War Room with Steve Bannon. And he's on there all the time. This guy is always fighting for your freedom, Steve is. So, but he's got Mike Davis on. We're going to listen to a little bit of that, and then we'll move right along here, guys, to our hope message.
Lines what DOJ's done here with the federal judiciary, and correct me if wrong, DC is considered the highest appellate court, the highest. I mean, these are like the top of the line, right? These are the people that looked at to be on the Supreme Court one day. Kavanaugh came out of here. Is she right? I mean, as you look at it as a professional, is Julie Kelly right? As bloodthirsty, disgusting, corrupt, vengeful, sir?
100% Julie Kelly is correct about that. And I would say to these federal judges, particularly these federal judges in DC, when you take off your judicial robes and you climb into the political arena, expect to take political punches. And we've been doing that at the Article 3 Project with our judicial misconduct complaint against a federal judge like Reggie Walton, who thought it was a good idea to go on CNN, on Caitlin Collins' show, and trash a criminal defendant going through the criminal process. You saw this with this Democrat judge, Beryl Howell, who used to be the chief judge, Elise Stefanik, the great congresswoman from New York, filed a judicial misconduct complaint for her for having some women's powwow speech, political speech, trashing Trump. These judges in D.C., have crossed a red line by being political. And what they've done to the January 6th defendants is inexcusable. President Trump is a billionaire, former and likely future president of the United States. What they are doing to him is highly destructive to our country. They've crossed the Rubicon, but President Trump has the resources to fight this. These January 6th defendants do not. And if they can do this to President Trump, just imagine what they can do to the rest of us. Just see what they're doing to these January 6th defendants, where they are taking what was a lawful protest permitted by the National Park Service and devolved into a riot. And the Biden Justice Department, along with these partisan Democrat judges and these cowardly, sanctimonious Republican judges in D.C. have tried to destroy their lives. They've contorted federal criminal law unconstitutionally, illegally to go after them. And this is a criminal conspiracy under federal law. There is a federal criminal conspiracy statute that it's a criminal conspiracy against rights where these prosecutors, these judges, these other Democrat operatives, and frankly, even Republican operatives, these anti-Trump forces have gone after Trump. They gone after his top aides like you and Peter Navarro. They've gone after his attorneys. They've gone after his supporters on January 6th. And they have politicized and weaponized our justice system at many different levels. In the federal system with Jack Smith, the Alvin Bragg, Tish James, Fannie Willis, this lawfare, this election interference is a criminal conspiracy. And there must be severe consequences. Once these courts lose their legitimacy, they must lose their funding. And I'll tell you this, these judges, these prosecutors who have who have politicized and weaponized the justice system to violate Trump and so many others, civil rights, they must pay severe legal, political, and financial consequences for this. And that must happen in the Trump 47 Justice Department.
And I hope it does. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We pray to God that Trump gets in. You know, it's what Dave was saying. He can still run for president from prison, behind prison bars. There's no law that says that the prisoner, if the people vote for this person, that's who ends up becoming the president.
Well, you know, if they win. I hope that doesn't come true, because I do hear some people, they're like, they want Trump, but they're so tired of the circus and dragging him through the mud. They're starting to think, well, maybe a better candidate would be better.
No, it's
but
not.
But nobody could do what Trump's going to do. There is no better candidate. He had to go 4 years with this swamp just to figure out who's who.
Yeah. Well, there's not a better candidate. It's sad. The only reason he's being dragged through everything like this, through the mud, and it's dragging the people down, because it's all they hear about. The only reason it's happening is because of the unseen elites with all the money that do this to us.
Yes.
They're telling you, the people who's going to run this country, and they don't want you telling them.
Exactly.
So that's why you're seeing all this.
Exactly.
That's exactly why.
That's exactly right, John.
All we need to do is stay together as the millions of people that we are.
That's right.
And keep backing him. Because even from the prison cell, when he's elected president of the United States, on day one in that jail cell, he can sign an executive order pardoning himself. That's step one. Step two, he can go to the White House or even Mar-a-Lago if he wants to and sign another executive order firing everybody in government.
Well,
I mean, anybody in that executive branch of government, in that Department of Justice. So that's step two. Step three, you put it all back together the way you want it and start closing the border, start everything else you had in mind. But the thing is, it's a sham what's happening right now. And what Mike Davis is trying to say is these judges and this Department of Justice and these Tish James and Fannie Willis and Bragg and them, they are all conspiring in a criminal syndicate.
Right.
They are a part of a criminal syndicate, but they're doing it out in the open because of their name and their job and their title. It entitles them to, like, indict and bring charges. But that part's in the open, but he's saying these people are all doing a conspiracy to take down a former president so that he cannot be a president again, even though he really didn't do anything wrong. Everybody's done as much as what they're saying he's done.
Oh my God.
Anybody on the planet. That's right. So he's saying they are after him because he is so popular with the people.
Well, you know, one thing is for us to fix the country and have our freedom back.
And that's the other reason.
We have to expose what's wrong, because when we were in the delusion, you know, everybody was living their fat little American life, you know, thinking everything's grand, you know, till, you know, it really wasn't. But we were just being fooled.
And that was
me.
We're
not being fooled. We were all there.
That was me. I didn't know. When I turned 7 and 8 and I was watching, learning about John F. Kennedy getting assassinated, I was like, why would we kill our president?
Right.
Mom, why would we kill our own president? Right. We as a people.
John, didn't you write a book, I Used to Be a Democrat?
I wrote a book called I Used to Be a Democrat.
Right. I mean, didn't we all think differently at one point?
We thought so. We thought that we know what we were talking about.
Right.
And so the only reason that I decided I'm not a Democrat anymore is because it's like a projection. The Democrats don't really want democracy or the Constitution anymore.
No.
Or at least not the ones today. The ones yesterday, they were still for democracy and they were for the Constitution. It's
Kennedy
all changed.
Kennedy was a Democrat back then.
Kennedy was a Democrat.
Right.
So, but it's all changed now.
Right.
Kennedy was going to keep peace. He was going to do the right thing as in the Oval Office, as you would expect. And the deep state, oh, no.
Oh, look what they
no,
did
you're not. You're not going to do any of that. Bam, shot him dead. So, and back then, the Secret Service or the protection wasn't as tight as it is these days. But I'm not going to say anything more about that because, guys, it is time to move off of current issues. But I will say one last thing. Wake up and look around.
Yeah.
And learn politics. Just do it. Just do it. It's not hard, really. Recommended listening to the Glenn Beck Show. Just start with that, guys. Give me 3 weeks of listening to Glenn Beck. You'll learn so much you didn't think you knew. I mean, I think you will, but you'll learn so much that you cannot believe that I never looked at it that way.
Right.
And you'll be going, well, it's going to be a biased show. Why would I want to listen to it? If it's not Joe and Mika, why would I want to listen? Because, see, first of all, Joe Scarborough, didn't he used to be in the Senate?
Yes, he did.
And he's big friends with Joe Biden. And yes, all he cares about is get Trump. Joe Biden's awesome. Trump's an a-hole. And he takes everything that Trump does and he turns it and spins it and turns it into something out of hate. So you can watch that. That's fine. But then come on over and listen to Glenn. Give me 3 weeks.
Yeah, but, you know, Scarborough used to be a Republican. And do you know about the intern they found in his office? You heard about that one?
So he's got this stuff going on.
Got a little dark stuff in his closet.
Got some closet stuff going on, too, huh? Well, Stephen Furtick, one of my favorites, he's a young man that does sermons in the name of the Lord. He's a pastor. And I'm going to let him talk for a few minutes so we can get in our hope message today, guys. God, the title is God, I Need You Now, with Stephen Furtick.
How do you grieve the fact that I don't know where the grave is, but somewhere along the way, I start talking myself out of seeing miracles. And I can't find the grave. I don't know what day it happened. I can't tell you it was 9:37 a.m. I can't tell you any of that. And I'm grieving over something that I can't find the grave for. I don't know why I don't trust people anymore, but I just don't. I don't know why I won't let anybody new in my life, but I just won't. I don't know why I don't even talk back to the devil when he starts telling me I'm worthless, but now I just agree with him to get him to quit. I'll know when I stop thinking, you know, at some point I am going to get through this because maybe it was the third time or the fourth time I went to rehab, but there's something I'm grieving and I can't show you the grave. I want to tell you, God knows where the grave is. And only God knows where the grave is. And that's why in this season, people can only help you so much. I'm telling you, in this season, you can read books, but books can only do so much. This is a season where you need the author. This is a season where you need the generator. This is a season where you need the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who knows where you laid your hope, who knows where you lost your faith, who knows where you gave up your edge, who knows where you surrendered to the addiction, who knows where you gave up the glory.
Yeah, and Stephen is passionate in this message. Look, it's got the even in the background, you got the images, the fiery images. It's like he's calling on God at the top of his lungs here.
It was awesome. I mean, this is scary, trying times. Yes. We all got to dig in.
So, guys, I am recommending you listen to Stephen Furtick's. You can just go to StephenFurtick.com. That's F-U-R-T-I-C-K for Furtick. .com and, you know, /videos. And then you can find this one here. God, I need to you now. And so do that so that you can listen to this entire sermon. And you know what? He gets down on the level. He's not always yelling like this. I tend to shy away from pastors that yell and scream. But I see that Stephen's doing it differently. Just completely passionate about what he's saying right here. He's talking about the author of that Holy Bible. And it's hard to talk about God directly about the author of this book without showing some kind of passion like that.
Not only that, it's got a huge audience. Need it right now.
Those people, we all need it. And so I just finished the book of Romans again, and I enjoyed reading every word of the book of Romans. There's so much in that book, and it restores your faith. It restores your connection with the Holy Spirit. You read those words of wisdom. It teaches of love. It teaches of being wise and doing the right thing. And it's not hard to read like some of the other books in the Bible. But, you know, the reason he says God is the author is because actually the Bible was written by God's chosen. So the Holy Spirit comes over them. They start to write. They're praying all the time, and they're writing, they're praying, and they're writing, and that's how the word manifests onto paper. God's prophets write, and then God's, like David, the story of David and Goliath, the story of King David, all of that, gets written by authors of the Bible that were allowing the Holy Spirit into their heart, and they were listening, they were channeling, they were praying. And I'm not saying God did an audible in their ear, right? That's obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But when you constantly pray and you let the Holy Spirit in your heart, and then you begin to write, He channels into that. Mm-hmm. He channels into that, and it comes out on paper. How it ended up in the Holy Bible as the overall book was done by some committees back then. It was done by scholars back then. There was a book or two that didn't end up in there.
That's true.
So, you know, these are all people of God that wrote. But ultimately, He is the author. Thank you for that, Stephen Furtick, over at StephenFurtick.com. So now we have to move to the health segment. We don't have to, but we want to move to the health segment. Well, we have to finish the show, so I guess that's what I meant. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we were going to talk about iodine. And one of our favorite doctors of health here is Dr. Eric Berg. I love how he explains in detail what he's talking about. And, you know, when you just listen to somebody telling you a vitamin is a good thing to take, but they're not telling you in detail why, you gotta wonder, is that a good thing to take or not?
Right.
So we found somebody that there's no issue with that. He talks about iodine in this one.
There's some fascinating information I want to share with you regarding iodine that goes way beyond the thyroid. So it is true that the lion's share of iodine is stored inside your thyroid. But there's also iodine in the breast tissue, in the uterus, in the ovaries, in the prostate, and I'm going to tell you why, in the sperm, in the stomach, in your lungs, and especially in your brain, okay? The front part of your brain that involve cognition, focus, memory, concentration. And this is why if an infant is deficient in iodine at birth, they're going to have some problems with their IQ. They're going to have decreased intellectual capacity. And so iodine is important, and not just for your thyroid, for other things as well. Now, the other interesting thing about iodine is the requirements for iodine, the RDAs. It's roughly in America, it's about 150 micrograms, not milligrams, but micrograms. But what's interesting about that is if you take a look at Japan, they consume on average per day between 1,000 to 3,000 micrograms of iodine. And they don't have nearly the problem with breast cancer, with female reproductive issues, and many of the other iodine deficiency problems that we have in the U.S. There just is no agreement in the scientific community on how much iodine we really need as far as a therapeutic dose. They do state that the upper limits should be no more than 1,000 micrograms, but that's kind of an arbitrary number because people have taken a lot more without any problems. In fact, if you have way too much iodine and create the same exact symptoms as a deficiency in iodine. Now, there's two general types of iodine, the type that should be used topically in the body, not internally, like povidone iodine. That's great for fungal infections on your toes or even a skin tag or a wart, but you shouldn't take that orally. There are other types of iodine that you can take orally, but I would recommend taking it as a food base, whether it comes from actual food like shellfish, or even better yet, sea kelp, which is seaweed. It comes in a package from nature that has all the other trace minerals and things that are connected with it. Because anytime you take one of anything in the body, you have to realize that you could throw off other things as well, especially when we're getting into the trace minerals. But you're more protected and you can tolerate it more if you take it from a food source like sea kelp. Of course, the key about sea kelp is making sure it's high quality. It comes from an ocean that is very, very pristine and healthy without heavy metals, because you don't want contaminated toxic heavy metals in your sea kelp. Now, there's some fascinating applications of using iodine to help with various body conditions. And one of the big things that iodine does is it helps to regulate estrogen, especially if there's too much estrogen in the body, as in estrogen dominance. So what does that mean? It means it can help you with heavy periods, periods that go on for too long. It can help with something called fibrocystic breasts. In fact, relating to that topic, one of the best ways to identify an iodine deficiency is through just the symptom of having breast tenderness. Most of the time when a woman experiences tenderness of the breast, they're really just experiencing an iodine deficiency. So you can use iodine on fibrocystic breast, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, fibroids, because you have high levels of iodine in the ovary, in the breast tissue, in the uterus. Also, iodine can be used for a prostate enlargement. Why? Because as men get older, their testosterone goes down and the relative ratios of estrogen goes up. So iodine is known to help prostatic enlargement. But iodine is also good for other things like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's good.
Unfortunately, I have to stop it right there in mid-sentence, because, but it's got a lot of good information. I recommend you to subscribe to Dr. Eric Berg, DC on YouTube. So, you know, you can get these videos, so you can be watching the entire thing. I just wanted to play a little soundbite of it today on the show. I noticed I put iodine in the water every so often. So, Debbie, you have this bottle of iodine that you use that you showed me, and it comes from the health store, from the local health store.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? You just put like 2 drops in your water.
Well, it's funny. I read that study about Japan,
and
I thought, I knew about iodine, and I knew that like if you're buying salt in the blue container, that's iodized.
That's
chemical made, salt. So
right.
I've been into natural stuff for a long time, and then I read that study, and I'm like, we better add a little more iodine to
It's boosting estrogen. It's keeping you healthy. It's fighting against the possibility of cysts in all the wrong places. It's keeping you healthy.
Think about all those symptoms in America.
Yeah.
Do you know how much reproduction issues are going on with young people today in this country alone?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even use iodine. They don't even tell you about iodine. You know what I'm saying?
They want you to be clueless when it comes to stuff like that.
They want you to be sick and clueless.
Which is exactly why I'm including this health segment.
Absolutely.
You know, people might say, well, John, this is not relevant to your podcast. Well, wait a minute. All things are relevant. You know, what did Einstein say? But yes, it is. It's important that we get it out there. Iodine is very good for you. I remember getting a report, I guess it was like 20 years ago or something, and it just stuck with me this long. But I was hearing on a documentary or something on the TV off to the side while I was at my desk, and they were saying, you know, there's cancer cases in the United States are way more than you're in Japan, the colon cancer. And one of the reasons that's what it was specifically, and one of the reasons that there's more so in the United States is because they eat so much red meat. So in Japan, they just eat a lot of fish and shrimp and rice and sea kelp, you know, and stuff like that. They don't eat a whole lot of red meat. And I was stuck with me for 20 years that I should stay away from red meat because if I don't, I could end up with colon cancer in the United States.
That was a false study, wasn't it?
It was a false statement that I didn't realize was so false.
We were being manipulated. Not only do they
not tell you about the iodine, they don't even want you to eat the red meat or the eggs or anything else that's good for your brain and your heart and whatever.
But so happens they got that plant-based meat substitute.
Oh, yeah, you can eat that. It's okay to eat that. Well, I'll tell you what, when Dr. Eric Berg showed a picture of the sea kelp, I was like, I think I'll just stick to the iodine from the health store.
I love seaweed salad, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just look at it. I've never liked green stuff that's been cooked and all mushy. I don't know, spinach, sea kelp.
But you know what I was thinking, too? How do you find seaweed from oceans that aren't laden with heavy metals?
That's a good question, So
it's kind of hard. It's not that easy to do.
First, we can identify the chemical compound that we should be ingesting that's very healthy for us, and in this case, iodine. And then secondly, we need to understand that if you're getting it naturally, where did it actually come from first?
Right.
It's kind of like with the potatoes or with any other food, the tomatoes. Was it GMO'd? Was it farmed?
It's a full-time job, isn't it?
It's not just as simple as identifying it.
No.
You do have to know where it came from. It's important. What we do... We make sure to find local fish and shrimp markets where it's fresh caught and it's just brought to them today. And then they stack it under in there. It kind of smells when you walk in.
Yeah, but
that right there, it hasn't had a chance to go through some process system by Tyson's Foods or somebody.
Right.
It didn't go through that fate.
Right.
So now you can walk in and buy your fish there. When it comes to the vegetables and the produce, they have similar markets on the sides of the roads. We don't know exactly where they got their tomatoes.
Yeah.
But I think you could stand a better chance that it wasn't GMO'd when you buy it from the farm directly. So,
absolutely.
You know, and if you know the farmer, you know,
right, it's important. Well, yeah, you got to know the farmer. One thing about Florida, we do have a lot of farms.
Which is good. Which is good. Unfortunately, too, guys, right now, because of what we discussed earlier in the show with the issues of today's society, that some of this healthy stuff in these farms is under attack. Just like anything else that they do, they attack what's good for you. They want, if you guys want to know about a movie that can kind of illustrate what it is this unseen elite group wants out of the American people, it's called Idiocracy.
Yeah.
You know, they turn into, their vocabulary is gone.
Right.
Their smarts is gone. But they're still intelligent beings, right? So they still can go through everyday life and live and do what they do, but it's idiot stuff.
Idiots. I mean, look at the way people dress today and walk around on the streets. I mean, come on.
So, it's been my pleasure to do this episode, and of course, it was that time of week again, so we sat here at this station and did this, and we're going to do it again next week. Guys, we're not out to... I'm not going to do like they do in the mainstream media and just bash the opposition with my most hateful, driven expressions. I'm just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let the Holy Spirit stay in my heart as I talk to you about what's concerning. And I pray that you'll do the same thing. So if you haven't already, let Jesus into your heart. We'll do this again next week. And until then, goodbye. This has been the American Freedom and God Podcast. Join us every week for the latest episodes. Please subscribe, rate, and review the series. Visit us and comment on a blog post at johnpfox.com. Happy listening, and remember to always show your awesome. Bye. Stupid is, stupid does.